Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin broadcasting from Seattle, Washington with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. And today we have on our show a very special guest, Dr. Guillermo Gonzalez, an astronomer at Iowa State University. Dr. Gonzalez, thank you for being on our show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, today we want to talk about a paper that was recently submitted as part of the, I believe it's the Gravity Research Foundation essay competition, and it's a paper that was submitted by Lawrence Krauss and Robert Scherer at Case Western Reserve University and Vanderbilt University, respectively. And of course, as many of our listeners will know, Lawrence Krauss is a very prominent critic of intelligent design, but his essay that he's published, or that he's trying to get published, called The Return of a Static Universe and the End of Cosmology, has some very interesting implications for intelligent design. And Dr. Gonzalez, we're very thankful to have you on our show today to talk about this paper. So first, I just want to ask you a few questions about yourself. What is your personal research about?
Well, I do research in several areas. I do studies of stars both near the sun and far away from the sun to learn about their composition. I do this with high-resolution spectroscopy, and this can give us clues about some of the nuclear processing that has occurred in these stars in the past. And I also study stars with planets, and I try to determine if there are any differences between stars hosting planets and those without planets. And this more generally within the area of astrobiology, which I've been moving more into the last few years. And I also, in that area, do work on the galactic habitable zone, try to find out what are the most likely places in the galaxy to find complex life.
Well, with all the talk about extrasolar planets these days, I would imagine that your research is some pretty cutting-edge, hot-topic material. Is that, would you say that's true? Or
yes. The field of astrobiology, and in particular extrasolar planets research, has attracted many scientists who have been previously working in other areas. In fact, I just published a paper today on the AstroPH preprint archive on the compositions of stars and planets. And so it attracted many people, and there are something like 8 different groups around the world working on that this particular topic of the compositions of, and other properties of stars and planets.
Wow. Well, I know that your work on galactic habitable zones actually, I believe, was on the cover of Scientific American. Was it in 2001? Is that right?
Yeah.
Or So this is some very interesting stuff that is being talked about. So maybe if I could just ask you about what is your take on Big Bang cosmology, and do you think that it supports intelligent design?
Well, I think the evidence supports the Big Bang theory in cosmology. Today we've entered the era of what's called precision cosmology. We can obtain observations of a variety of types of different standard candles, of the cosmic microwave background radiation, and the distribution of galaxies on a large scale. And all these lead us to what's called the concordance model, an understanding of the universe that is very self-consistent, indicate that the universe began in a hot Big Bang origin about nearly 14 billion years ago, and is expanding today, and in fact not only expanding but accelerating because of a recent discovery of what's called the cosmological constant, also called dark energy. This supports intelligent design in a number of ways. First of all, there are a number of parameters that have been discovered to be required to be fine-tuned, so that if they were different by just a small amount, the universe would not be habitable. Secondly, the Big Bang points to an origin of the universe in time and space. Of course, that requires explaining what caused the universe. And thirdly, the Big Bang cosmology forms one of the instances or examples of what we call the Privileged Planet thesis in our book, The Privileged Planet, which the universe is set up not only for life, but it's set up for that life to make discoveries about the universe. Well, so cosmology is one of those areas in which we claim that the conditions are set up for us to be able to observe the universe around us.
Okay, and I think we're going to get into that a little bit more as we talk about this paper. Now, I've only had access to the abstract of this paper, but I'll just read it real quick, and I'd like to get your, you know, play-by-play take on what exactly they're saying, because from talking to you before the interview, I think it's very easy for some of our, you know, readers who are not experts in this field, as I will freely admit I'm not a physicist or a cosmologist, to possibly misinterpret what they're saying. So in the abstract, Lawrence Krauss and Robert Scherer say, This is for their paper titled The Return of a Static Universe and the End of Cosmology. And they write, "We demonstrate that as we extrapolate our current lambda universe forward in time, all evidence of the Hubble expansion will disappear, so that observers in our island universe will be fundamentally incapable of determining the true nature of the universe, including the existence of the highly dominant vacuum energy, the existence of the CMB, and the primordial origin of the light elements. With these pillars of the modern Big Bang gong, this epoch will mark the end of cosmology and the return of a static universe." So what exactly are they saying here? Are they saying that, you know, this is the Big Bang cosmology is coming to an end, or are they saying something else?
They're saying something else. It's a very brief abstract, and it's easy to get a little confused with exactly what they're saying. All they're saying is that we extrapolate into the future the universe according to the currently best accepted model for the universe, called lambda CDM, or cosmological constant of lambda, and then cold dark matter universe with a particular value of the Hubble constant and so on. They extrapolated forward, there are certain consequences that result from that. Most significantly, we won't be able to see galaxies anymore around our galaxy. So we won't be able to have any standard candles or anything else that we can measure to determine what kind of universe we live in, the nature of the universe. And so what they're saying is that observers in the future, in the distant future, will mistakenly believe that they're living in a static universe, because they won't have all these different measurement tools today in cosmology to determine what the nature of the universe is, what are its parameters, how old it is, how it began, and so on. And so people that could be living in the distant future, if that were possible, would mistakenly conclude they're not living in a universe with a hot Big Bang beginning.
So they do adhere to the Big Bang model of the origin of the universe. It's just they're saying that sometime in the future, it's going to be essentially impossible to look at the astronomical data and deduce a Big Bang model. Is that right? Okay.
That's correct.
So how does this fit with your privileged planet hypothesis that we were discussing earlier?
Well, actually, if you read this paper, it reads like a summary of Chapter 8 of our book, The Privileged Planet, in which we discuss within the context of modern cosmology how it is that we can measure all these things about the properties of the universe today, but these kinds of measurements will not be possible in the future. And so we're living at a special time in the history of the universe when we can actually do cosmology, when there can be cosmologists, when there can exist a subject called cosmology to determine the bulk properties of the universe, to determine its origin. There's only a short time over the history of the possible history of the universe when this is even possible. And so that's a privileged planet thesis, because this is also the best time for life, we argue, in the history of the universe. In other words, we're living during the cosmic habitable age. It coincides during the best time to do cosmology in the history of the universe.
So it's a good time to be a cosmologist right now. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's right.
Okay. Well, I doubt that many of us will be around 100 billion years from now to see this time come. Or maybe is it going to come sooner than 100 billion years? Or how far away is this period that they're talking about?
What they're talking about 100 billion years from now is literally all the galaxies that we can observe today being receding from us so fast, and they're so far away that we could no longer detect them.
I see.
Long before that, we will, in practical terms, cease to be able to make significant measurements about the universe. Standard candles will disappear long before that, such as Cepheid variable stars and type 1a supernovae, which we use today to determine the expansion rate of the universe and its acceleration as well. And other things like the cosmic microwave background radiation will probably be unobservable in practical terms long before that. And so the things will gradually become less and less measurable in the future, tens of billions, just a few billions of years from now.
Wow.
What they're talking about is kind of an extreme 100 billion years from now, when literally we won't even be able to see any galaxies, let alone standard candles within those galaxies.
So the take-home message is people better get their grant requests in pretty soon, or maybe too late. Okay. Well, Dr. Guillermo Gonzalez, this has been very enlightening and very helpful, and it's very interesting to learn about how this, you know, research that's coming in is only continuing to support your privileged planet hypothesis. So anything else you'd like to add for our listeners?
Let me just read one sentence near the conclusion of their paper, which I would hardly agree with. Thus, we live in a very special time in the evolution of the universe, the time at which we can observationally verify that we live in a very special time in the evolution of the universe. There you go.
Wow. There you have it. We're in a special time in the universe, and we appreciate your time today, Dr. Gonzalez, and wish you the best in your future research in this area. So thank you very much, Dr. Gonzalez.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, hope you tune in for the next podcast. This is Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast, signing off. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID of the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.